Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It's Rog. It's Friday and a pod exhilarated at all there is to come. And I don't just mean because the US men are playing Grenada tonight. As a pod, my lovely parents Val and Iva are on a flight from Manchester to JFK for their first visit to the United States in over 2.5 long years. And although my daughter and I, you may remember, were able to visit Liverpool together last November, my wife and my three other kids, they have not seen my folks since, well, before the pandemic began. A devastating void in terms of human connection and family memory making. And you may remember we headed back to London. We actually planned to spend a week with my parents over spring break, only for my mum to call, possibly the most heartbreaking call I've ever received. We were literally on the flight about to head over to London to meet them, and she broke the news to us that her and my dad had just tested themselves for COVID and after 2 years of dodging it had turned positive. The kind of cruel agony only Alanis Morissette could truly understand. I think she could write a whole new extra verse of ironic about it. But I do know many of you listening have experienced this kind of chaos, this kind of disruption, or worse, within your own families. And the pain is real. 31 months in a kid's formative imagination is a time they will never gain back. 31 months in a grandparent's heart is a hole which will never heal. Yet tonight, we'll sit down around my dinner table, we will raise a glass, and we will make the most of every bloody moment that we have together. I can't wait until I have the first argument with my old man about Andre Gomez and his midfield worth. And in that moment, I will know that everything, well, not everything, but as much as it's possible amidst our current chaos, I'll know that everything, caveat, everything, is back to normal. Okay, lots of football to discuss, and by lots, I mean a smattering. So let's do this. Let's dive in. Talk the US, let's talk England, let's talk about the transfer window. Sting me up, producer Jonah. That was Courage and Tenacity. Oh, I love all three of those words by Stephen Thorne. I love all two of those words too, which Stevie T described as FDR fireside chat meets U2. In U2's mind, that's just U2. And you're listening to WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in your big burning questions, your BBQs. Oh my God. And I give you extinguishing answers, essentially the worst fireside chat ever recorded. Call in your questions. 2646 450 9472. That's 646 450 9472. And it could be your voice on this podcast next week. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favourites, in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this, as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend, have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Question me up.
Hi, this is Taylor from Atlanta, Georgia. Don't support a club, but follow all things U.S. national teams, men and women. Question that I haven't seen a lot of discussion on in the Twitterverse. Do you think there's an opportunity for some of our European-based men players who are, say, not getting as much playing time with their European clubs to consider moves back to the MLS? Somewhat in the vein of DeAndre Yedlin, I'm thinking guys like Ethan Horvath taking starting roles at an MLS club. I know there was also some discussion of Matthew Hoppe coming back over, again, helping to drive up their attention and getting them playing time. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Taylor, oh, Atlanta, Georgia, how I long for that city. And you're asking this question on USA Match Day. Yes, tonight, the baby Eagles face Grenada. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, ESPN Plus. Have you got Nations League fever? I got it bad, and I don't fully understand what the tournament is or how the US is playing two weakened opponents in a World Cup year in which we have precious few opportunities to work out the kinks. Kinks here, a well-known euphemism for deep uncertainty at striker, centre-back, and a self-inflicted nagging doubt about goalkeeper. And this tournament was originally designed by CONCACAF to help the region's smaller teams play competitive matches. I appreciate that. I understand that. There is a real need, but bloody hell, it's timing for the likes of Mexico and the US men's national team. It's bloody terrible. I don't know what can be reliably learned from this fixture, apart from, well, you know, how good a certain player looks in their kit. And the biggest question of the night, it's really a plea. If we win this game, if we win this game against 172nd ranked Spice Boys, essentially if we win this game heavily, and let's just say we press the life out of our opponent and we have our fullbacks push up like the American versions of Trent and Robbo, and we watch Aaron Long just lock down the bat line like some kind of MLS Ruben Dias, Can we agree not to act as if we're the OU softball of men's football? No? Okay, well, never let it be said that I didn't try. So what can we look forward to? I imagine lots of goal celebration memes. Christian hitting the worm. The gritty worm. The big storyline is that America's search for an ex-top American striker continues. No Pepe, Perfox, Sargent or Jossie to be seen on this roster. So there can be few better chances for Jesus Ferreira or Hadji Wright to make us all wildly overreact to their potency and clinicality in front of the goal. We so badly want to say, this is the prince that was promised. Put another way, if they do not score tonight, they both will be voted off the island. To your question, though, about whether MLS will swoop for US talent, and I talked a lot about this on a couple of midweek Do It Lives. If you look at the arc of the MLS relationship with this US men's national team in the last decade, cast your mind back to the days under Jurgen Klinsmann, he who made it clear he wanted all of his players to move to Europe. Test yourselves against the best, with the best. And as he said those words, MLS was in a moment of ambitious growth and they made the decision the best way to grow this league is to overpay for the best US players and bring them back from exile, essentially offering Michael Bradley a multiple of his European salary. Come back to Toronto. Josie, you come back. Clint, come back. Look, we got the whole US men's national team. Tim eventually came back too. All of them given financial inducements to give up on Europe. They were all aging. It made complete sense for them to do it. But what happened in the wake of that, the failure to qualify in 2017, it's really been a prime driver in generational change. This young wave of talents, most of them teens when they did so, they realised to be the best player, to not make the mistakes that led to 2017, they had to go to Europe, they had to grind their way, they had to sharpen steel on steel, arrive in that Star Wars cantina of leagues, wherever they could end up, and then just push ever higher, all of them dreaming of the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the Austrian League, Spain, wherever you could end up, that is where you wanted to be. And there's players you mentioned in your question. Look, DeAndre Yedlin has come back. DeAndre Yedlin, God, what a remarkable unsung hero is. He ground his way through to find his level. Had a sterling career at Newcastle, but he made the decision to return to MLS, not at his peak. Ultimately, Newcastle were going to get rid of him. He had a decision to make. Did he want to go to the Championship? Did he want to go to some other European league? And the offer of Miami, God, what would you choose? What was most interesting to DeAndre in that moment? A return home, and God bless and Godspeed. That man deserves it. It was so rational for him to make that decision. But for Horvath, a real baller, still trying to work out what his peak is, he will stay. He's got to stay. He will fight. He will improve. He will grind. And God bless. I hope he stays at Nottingham Forest. I hope he experiences a Premier League season of wonder and makes his decision about playing time in the wake of that. But my Lord, the Hoppy situation is a bit of a wild one. You know, look at that arc. A kid who exploded out of nowhere. A bit like a gambler. Just winning the jackpot in his first three hands and then just fell off in Spain. Completely could not get playing time bandwidth whatsoever in that situation. I mean, that is a fascinating conversation to have with your agent. I could honestly see an MLS team overpaying to bring that gent back, a goal scorer, and him taking that opportunity and the money, because my God, it is hard to grind out of obscurity like he has. And you got to think his name in the United States in soccer circles may right now be his best asset as a finisher. And other than him, I actually spoke to the Oracle for you, the mighty Tom Bogert, Tommy Scoops, who told me the most possible out of all of them is a Shaq Moore return to these shores. Hello, Nashville, far out in the possible. The only other one he came up with is Matt Miazga. Oh, man, who should come in from the cold, but who knows? And right now, for the rest, the pull of Europe, the grind up that pyramid, all these gents, that is where the head is at. That is where the head should be at. And please God, for 2026, the US team will be all the better for it. to more of this.
Susi to take it. Let's go!
Oh, God bless Ian Dark. Next question, please.
Raj, this is Jacob in Denver. I'm your resident Denmark fan, and I'm a Spurs and Colorado Rapids supporter. I'm calling because I enjoyed listening to your show on Wednesday, talking about the point of friendlies prior to the World Cup. And as a Denmark fan, I wanted to point out something that I think is ridiculous and probably a problem that needs to be addressed in the Nations League, that Denmark and France are in the same group in the World Cup, and they play each other twice in the Nations League before that. They should know each other pretty well in advance of November. But how do you even address those games? You don't want to give anything away. You don't really want your players to get to know each other too well when you're going to play with something actually on the line 4 months down the road. What should the Nations League do, and how should these teams address the game? Interested to hear what you have to say. I imagine you're not the biggest fan of the Nations League to begin with, and I share those sentiments as well. All right, take care. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Hedge, Jacob. Oh, the Nations League. I hate it. I've just made that clear in the US. I hate it in Europe right now. Not just for your Denmark, but England face Italy tomorrow, Saturday, 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time on Fubla di Bo. And the good news for you is the players, by and large, are determining how important the Nations League is in this window, and they have made it pretty clear they couldn't care less about it. Many seem to actively resent it. See KDB's comments to the Manchester Evening News. For me, the Nations League is not important. We have to play these games, but it feels like a campaign of friendly games, just glorified friendlies after a long and tough season. Let's be honest, no one cares. These are games competed by shattered athletes aching for a vacation after the pandemic forced them essentially to run through back-to-back seasons with no break. But the games still sound on paper like great matchups. And even though England will be playing behind closed doors, England, Italy, barely, but probably worth Googling a dodgy stream so you can say that you were there when Tammy Abraham started and scored a late penalty to earn a draw. And American fans, the one thing I'm going to ask is, let's not read too much into these lazy England performances, shall we? No? Okay then.
This time, more than any other time, this time, we're gonna find a way to get away this time, getting it all together, to win them all, is what we'll set out to do. We have a dream, we know you're
God, I love that song as a kid. Next question.
Hi, Raj. This is Arsenal and White Sox fan Kathy in Chicago. Why is transfer season so like episodes of The Real Housewives? It's filled with snark and gossip. Thanks and courage.
Kathy, my God, The Real Housewives. That's filled with aspiration. Awful aspiration. But I think the transfer window, which opens today, June 10th, is filled with hope. Dashed hope, of course. But as an Arsenal fan and a White Sox fan, you know about dashed hope all too well, Kathy. It's almost as bad as being a White Sox fan and an Everton fan, right? Bloody Tony La Russa, you make me so unbearably sad. Arsenal, though, Kathy, I think this is going to be such a definitive window. And I know last season's end was an agony. But if, and with Kroenke, it's always a big if, the Gunners can capture Yuri Tillemans, who they are believed to have the inside track on, and Gabriel Jesus, then believe. Believe, Kathy. And remember, Dallas Keuchel also available. North London forever. Am I right, Tottenham fans? This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know, with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Next question.
Hey, Rog. Joe here from Orlando, Florida. I'm curious what your thoughts are on watching the World Cup, given all the circumstances surrounding, you know, Qatar and all that stuff, and how it was awarded, especially with the U.S. men's national team participating. I ask this question because there's a lot of debate about the LIV golf tournaments and all of that stuff going on, and the battles with PGA, and people saying they won't watch LIV, but a lot of soccer fans, you know, they feel the same way. And I'm curious what your thoughts would be on, you know, supporting the men's national team in a World Cup that, you know, potentially questionable. Go Gunners.
Joe, what a great question. Thank you for that. I did watch very briefly LIV Golf, and it is incredibly humanly depressing, sportingly just as bad. I've actually just been working on a project that forced me to relive the Super League experience this week and just re-immersing myself in that trauma. And that's what it was. It was a complete and utter trauma. Reminded me really of so many things, mostly of how we in football are so easily diverted from those who are seeking to corrode and pervert the game we love. Just because they know the second that ball is kicked again, the second Ronaldo is brought back to Old Trafford, or Mo Salah scores a majestic goal, or KDB just unleashes the kind of pass that only Picasso could imagine. We are essentially like little kitties reacting to catnip. We're like, ooh, football. And we forget. We've forgotten the Super League, let's be honest. But watching golf eat itself, it's so startling. It all seems so stark, so craven, so despicable, so reckless. The sports washing, it's just so much more visible when it sinks its talons into another sport. Its stink descends upon it. What's really different about Newcastle than what Phil Mickelson's got himself caught up in? And the reality is, the game we love, football, this is what I've realised watching LIV Golf, has had these forces warping it for different ways for the last 20 years. It just seems more shocking watching it occur on the golf course rather than gradually and ominously over time in the sport we love. Also, the sports washers have been invited into football at Manchester City, at PSG, at Piff Castle. It means they were able to do their transformation. They have to do it outside, startlingly. They transformed the game from inside the belly of the beast. There was Miguel Delaney wrote in an excellent piece in The Independent today. He said it's all about why football probably doesn't have to fear LIV soccer. It's already here. But in terms of LIV golf, let's hear a minute of the incredible explainer, a truly incredible explainer. Find it on Twitter, watch it, that the BBC's Ross Atkins put out, which begins with Greg Norman.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to unlock the potential for the game of golf to truly grow.
It's certainly a chance for the players' bank balances to grow and for Saudi Arabia to pursue its goals. For golf more broadly, we'll see. And as the series began, it tweeted, "Shot just got real." Indeed it did, as we see golfers try to explain where, if at all, they draw the line.
If Vladimir Putin had a tournament, would you play there?
That's speculation. Not even going to comment on speculation.
No comment on that question. And in their own different ways, the golfers have been making this point.
We're not politicians. I know you guys hate that expression, but we're really not, unfortunately.
Back in May, Lee Westwood said, I don't think sport and politics should mix. That may be the hope, but sport and politics frequently do. And whether the players want to be political or not, by stepping onto the first tee, the players are choosing to work directly with Saudi Arabia. Given its human rights record, that choice, unavoidably, has a political dimension.
Sports unavoidably having a political dimension, which brings us to Qatar and your question about supporting the US men's national team in their tournament campaign there. And ultimately, I've said this a couple of times, everyone in the United States, everyone in the world has to come to their own position on it. And by the way, I found it fascinating, the reports that England even have not sold out their allocation of tickets. I know I won't be going. I went to Russia in 2018 and I realised I just succeeded in doing Putin's propaganda bidding by tweeting and broadcasting how great the stadia were, the atmospheres, the cities, the bars, the culture, the place, the subways. And I won't be doing that again. But as for the players, this is what's so fascinating. They spoke up admirably, wonderfully on the issue of gun control this week. But they qualified for the World Cup March 30th, 72 days ago. And I don't know when they're going to make their position clear individually, collectively on the human rights violation and the workers' deaths that the hosts of the World Cup are hoping to cover over by being hosts. But there is a moment, and I hope it's soon, when they should step up and make it known. That's it for this week. We will be back on Monday with a pod. Until then, save your loved ones and let's watch the US together tonight. And let me send you out with a burst of wisdom from a remarkable human being, John Oliver. The podcast version of my end of season chat with him is up and live on this stream and it fills me with joy. He is so bloody good. And I should say the television version of the conversation, which producer J-Dubs absolutely smashed, is up on Peacock now, as is the entire series of Men in Blazers. But this John Oliver show, the perfect way to cap season 8 of the Men in Blazers show. Go and watch it. John is such an emotionally empathetic football fan. What a human being. Here he is, talking about the forthcoming USA-England World Cup clash. This is Rog, saying I'll see you Monday. Courage. Mighty England were slightly match-fixy, drawn into the United States group. Who would you be cheering for, John?
I would be cheering for England. I used to think the idea of the USA becoming good at football was a nightmare when I was a kid. Just because, oh, don't let them have this as well. Can they just stay bad at this one sport? Because I just no one wants to see the USA win a World Cup. They've changed now because they've got some really good footballers. Gone are the days when Landon Donovan was as good as it got. These are legitimately good footballers now.
Which country needs it more, John?
England needs it more. England needs a World Cup. America just wants one.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths. And where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.